This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Everybody wants to know the reason, and the reason is very simple. Every time somebody asked me how long I was going to go, I would always say, as long as my health allows me to do it. But deep down inside, I knew that the only thing that would speed that up, if I did not feel that I was any longer the right man for the job. I'm not going to say the best man, because I never thought I was the best at anything. But 15 years at Kansas, I thought I was the right man. And this time at North Carolina, I thought I was the right man. I no longer feel that I am the right man for the job.
Roy Williams yesterday, press conference, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. News broke about 10.05 a.m. right after our, after we said adios. The 10.05 curse kicked in, and ta-da, there you go. But I thought it was an April Fool's joke for about 20 minutes yesterday, yeah. And then realized, wow, Roy Williams is stepping down and an end of a truly remarkable, phenomenal career, as we said. 33 years as a head coach. 15 at Kansas, 18 at North Carolina, 3 natties, 903 total wins. I mean, the list goes on and on. In fact, it almost looks like a typo when you start going through all the accomplishments Roy Williams was able to achieve at two incredible institutions, and all the players and everybody's thanks. And, you know, I just say from a personal standpoint, Wes, I can speak for both of us here, he has always treated us with dignity and class and has made time for us. And I'm happy for him that he's been able to go out on his terms. And, you know, kind of what Billy just talked about, that, you know, the next chapter of his life is going to be awesome, playing with the grandkids and hopefully making a lot of birdies, a lot of putts, and having fun on the links. So, you know, he's earned it, and good for Roy. And we wish him the very best. And hopefully we'll have him back on the show telling some stories and having some fun.
Yeah. I'd like to do that. That'd be a lot of fun for us, for sure. Hopefully he'd have a good time, too.
He would.
We'll get to your calls, 844-SAY-ACCN. Let's go to Ed in Georgia here at the top of the hour. Ed, good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you gentlemen doing on this fine Good Friday?
Excellent. Thanks for asking.
Fine. Thank you, sir.
Good, good. I'd like to throw my comments in about the Roy Williams situation. I think the best – in my opinion, the best replacement would be Hubert Davis. He's an alum. He played Carolina basketball. He definitely has passion for it, because when I think of Hubert Davis, I think of him at the Final Four holding his hands on top of his head saying, oh, my God. You know, so I think that would be a great fit at the University of North Carolina. I think they probably do need to get a North Carolina Tar Heel alum because of it being North Carolina. But Mr. West, the man who talked about the Bojangle biscuits, I hate to put him down. I just left the Capri restaurant gazing over there at Wyman Stadium, and I can't help but think about the man who's going to be the number one overall draft choice. What do you think about Trevor?
Well, he's on the wall over there. Don't worry, Ed. He'll be just fine. I think Jacksonville and Duval County will fit him fine. Appreciate your call. That was good. The Capri now, Pack. We can get the breakfast special over there, by the way.
You have told
Darryl
me about
it. Darryl and Sam get us a breakfast special.
You have told me about that spot down in your neck of the woods. One of these days, I'm going to break bread with you down there, because it sounds like my kind of place.
Yeah.
So, but Bojangles is a corporate.
The Capri now.
The difference, though, is Bojangles is a corporate partner, and Chester and Fuller know it's Friday, and at 10:05 today, we will be breaking news when the boys get their biscuits without butter on it, and that's happening. And Sister Piper, by the way, is upstairs. I can hear her running around. Gigi's in town, so we may have to load Sister Piper in the Ford F-150 with Chester and Fuller at 10:05 and hit the Bojangles deal. But that's for later in the show.
Can we get some social media on video if that happens? You get all three of the dogs in the F-150. Could we get some social media, please?
You know, I got both hands on the wheel, Wes. Normally, I'm driving with my knees on the way home because I've got my bacon, egg, and cheese in one hand, and I'm trying to feed the hounds with the other, and I'm driving with my knees to get back because there's a Bojangles about 6 minutes from our house. So three dogs and a video, that might be a bit difficult, I'll be honest.
No. The car, the F-150 can be parked. I just want a picture of you and the three dogs with all the Bojangles. That's it. I don't want you to risk life, limb, and another knee injury.
Yeah, again, driving with one good knee, too. That's the other thing. I'm still got some issues.
I got you.
Yesterday was not a good day. Today hadn't been a good day.
All right, Mississippi, Shirley, before we get to break, and Eric Montross coming up in about 5 minutes. Shirley, good morning.
Good morning. I am so glad to talk to you all. There are Tar Heels in Mississippi. I wanted you to know that.
Thank you.
And I appreciate
that. You're telling us that.
I have lived in Chapel Hill a long time ago. And I saw Charlie Scott play. He came when I was there. So you can tell I'm your grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy Williams is my last connect with Carolina. I've seen him, and I know him, and I'm glad to have him. I'm sorry he's leaving, and I hope he'll feel better about himself when it's all over. And I'm still going to be a Tar Heel. There are those here. My friends call it my basketball team, and that's okay with me. And I love your show. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to have a connect with y'all.
Thank you.
From Carolina. I dumped my cable company so that I could get the ACC network. I just got rid of them when y'all came about. So anyway, I am very happy to have y'all. I appreciate y'all. I appreciated a lot of the old things that you show on the show. The confrontation with Barnes and Dean Smith was wonderful. I remember that. And you had, I remember that. And I love having the Georgia Tech coach. His name just ran away from me. Anyway,
Josh
I met him on a plane.
Bobby Crimmins,
Josh Pastner. Crimmins.
I really liked him. He was a good
Shirley,
guy.
We appreciate you watching, and thank you so much. That's a kind call from Mississippi this morning.
Wes, I got to be honest with you, because I normally keep up with such nonsense, but I think this is show 355. I believe that is the first call we've ever had from Mississippi on the show, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it is, yeah.
Now, the afternoon radio show, we have had everybody covered, but we've been doing that for a while. But I think that's our first Mississippi caller. So, Miss Shirley, we appreciate that very much. By the way, very quickly, before we go to break, I have to tell you this. And Billy and I were having a conversation yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the other day, we brought up Bones McKinney, and the legendary figures of yesteryear of ACC Hoops, and how he wore a seatbelt.
Yes.
Billy told me yesterday, he goes, it's funny you should bring that up, Mark, because I was rummaging through a bunch of stuff, and I found two pieces of Bones McKinney's seatbelt, and I was going to throw it away. I said, don't you dare. I said, I want it for the basement. So I'm going to get my hands on it this weekend. Two pieces of the seatbelt that Bones McKinney used to have to wear to keep him situated on the bench during his days at Wake Forest. I'm going to get my hands on it this weekend. Just want to pass it on to you.
That's awesome.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Friday, getting you ready for a weekend on a good Friday. Roy Williams is going to be front and center, a big story, huge story. Not only here in the ACC, but nationwide. Mm-hmm. And a guy that knows about as much about North Carolina basketball as you need to know is our next guest. That's Eric Montross. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing very well. Good morning, guys.
First things first, how surprising was it to yesterday around 10:15? Did that stun you or not?
Very. I think it was very surprising for everybody. I think everybody knows that Coach is 70 and that there's an opportunity for retirement pretty much at any time. But I don't think that anybody thought that it was imminent. And, of course, now we know that it was imminent. And here we are in the transition stage.
Eric, this is always an interesting time, but especially so at a place like Carolina, right? Because of the tradition, because of the history, because of the depth of the program. And when I say depth, I'm talking about years and decades of connected teams. It's one where a lot of emotions come into play. So how does that, when you wake up this morning, how does that all kind of connect for the general public? What do we need to know about that connection of the Carolina program?
Well, look, I think that I'll give you an example, and it's not meant to be one that's too partisan in comment, but I'll give the best example I have is that when I played in the NBA for 10 years, I played for six different teams. And on every single team, a player would come up to me absolutely and say, what is it about the Carolina family? Why do you guys always end up back in Chapel Hill? Why are you going back in the summertime to work out? And I think that's part of what you're talking about, that interconnected web. I think that there's been a very intentional, purpose-driven perspective that has been developed with Carolina, starting with Coach Smith and continuing with Coach Williams, Coach Guthridge, Coach Doherty. It's been an intentional they've gone after family. They've wanted to make it more personal than just a coaching position. And so I think that's why it's something that we're very interested in, care very deeply about.
Eric, did you get a sense of parallels when Dean Smith said, hey, you know what, I'm done? And with Roy Williams yesterday going, I'm done. Did you get any ties there, any connections?
Well, I think that for both, they went out on their own terms. And I think that for both of them, they went out, it didn't follow a national championship and probably, it would have been perfect in those ways to step out while you're on top. But I think that really, I don't know about parallels. I mean, I think there are certainly some. I think that if we focus on Coach Williams, I think the thing that we saw was his emotion. He wears it on his sleeve. And he is going to show you what's under the sleeve. And yesterday, it was a very raw admission that he didn't feel like he was the right guy for the job. Now, I think there are a lot of us who believe that he's still the right guy for the job. But in his mind and in his level of achievement that he expects year to year out of himself, out of his coaching staff, out of his players, he felt like he wasn't in a position to continue to do that. I think that there will be a lot of us who might falter on that and say, explain it a little further. It's probably not all you, Coach, but that's where we sit.
Eric, I thought last night was very interesting. As compelling as Roy's presser was last night, I told Mark this earlier today, I thought Bubba Cunningham's comments with the media last night were incredible. I thought that if I were a Carolina fan coming away from it, you would have confidence that he and Kevin Guskowitz, the chancellor, are going to move through this process in a quick fashion. They're also going to move through it in understanding exactly all the different things that are involved in hiring the next basketball coach at Carolina. There's a lot of conversation about someone with connections and someone not with connections. How big a factor do you think that's ultimately going to be, knowing kind of the landscape of where we are right now?
I mean, Wes, I think that is the question. I think the question is, do you stay within the family or do you do what Bubba talked about last night, which is this is a preeminent job in the nation and you perform a national search. I will say that I do think that for the aforementioned reason when I talked about being in the NBA and having some always identify what is it about Carolina, I think that intangible is something that has to be met. And how that's met, who meets it, I think that's for a decision maker like Bubba and for our chancellor and Kevin Guskowitz. But I think that is absolutely important. You know, the job at Carolina is much bigger off the court than it is on the court. And I think a lot of people may not fully understand that. But when you look at this Carolina job, it's a management position. It is a position to manage one of the preeminent programs in the country. Whether you're a Carolina fan or not, this is a big-time top four, top five program in the country. It has been that way. It's had Hall of Fame coaches. There are expectations. There's a tremendous university behind it. It doesn't make it absolutely unique, but I think that in a lot of ways it is. And I think that that's something that's going to have to be considered. I think that when you look within the coaching tree, within the family, the Carolina basketball family proper, I think you do see that there are folks who simply understand something at a deeper root level than you get with someone outside. Now, Bubba is a great example of someone who's come in from the outside and I think has done a very good job of not just embracing what is here currently with Carolina, but also not being afraid to grow and not being afraid to show us what is outside of the horizon that we've typically been working off of, because he's been a very national based athletic director. So I think it's a great question. I think it's one that will be met with proper study.
Well, I got to tell you, you're kind of joining us. I know you got a busy schedule this morning, but it's great perspective and unique perspective we can't get from anybody else. So thanks for doing this.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. I always enjoy being on your show and appreciate your coverage of this. It's a big day for Carolina basketball. You know, yesterday it was about celebrating Coach Williams, and today it's about thinking about the future of Carolina basketball. And although there was a lot of sadness for the fans of Carolina basketball, the fact is today there's an excitement. I think there should be an excitement about a very bright future, because there are a lot of people that care deeply. One of the guys who you have, I think, at the bottom of the screen in Coach Williams, is certainly making sure that the cupboard is not left bare. And we've seen that at every turn of the hands.
Yeah. Thanks, Eric. Take care, my man.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Have a good weekend. Happy Easter.
Same.
You bet. Eric Montross. Appreciate his time. Great perspective, Pac. Wow, huh?
Watching this search is going to be phenomenal. I mean, I'm telling you, this is a big deal. It's going to be a big deal. And not only for fans of the ACC, obviously North Carolina fan, that's a given. But I think fans of ACC sure. basketball need to watch this search, because I'm just telling you, when you start talking about, again, I'm not pushing anybody out the door here, but Jim Boeheim, Mike Krzyzewski, mm-hmm. Leonard Hamilton. I know Leonard is our guy. He's got his one leg up with the Achilles, got a new 5-year deal. But we've got Jim Larranaga. These are brilliant, all-time great coaches. And I said the other day, we've been spoiled rotten in the ACC. Spoiled rotten in the ACC as fans with excellence for decade upon decade upon decade upon decade. And what we just experienced in March Madness, going 4-7, we're not used to it. We're not. And we haven't had one of those kind of deals since 1987 with a losing NCAA tournament. But we've been so spoiled because we've been in the middle of watching excellence on the hardwood. And guys like Dean Smith to Roy Williams and what Mike Krzyzewski's done. And again, you know, Bobby Crimmins. We go through the whole list here. This is what's made this a special league. We're getting ready to go through an experience here in this new era where the decisions made at North Carolina and whatever Kay and Boeheim and Larranaga and Leonard decide to do, it's critical. This is a critical moment in the history of the league, and we're getting ready to watch it unfold. So, again, jump on board, guys, because this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know what I just thought of this morning? Remember a year ago at the ACC tournament, right as the tournament was beginning on the men's side, and we were doing our show. And remember David Teal sitting with us in the end zone at the Coliseum in Greensboro, and we were talking about the landscape of the coaches in their 70s? That was really the first time on our program we kind of dove into that talk, right? And now here we are, that combined with something that I think, you know, you've talked about, the volatile landscape of what college athletics is going to be in the next 3 to 5 years. It's an interesting time.
Well, this is
who emerges as players.
This is like the perfect storm. I'm just telling you, it's coming, and so you can't act like, oh, I'm stunned, I'm shocked. You shouldn't be, because you've been paying attention to how the landscape's changing and you know what these coaches are going through. And like I said, there had to be the first domino of the greats, right? Had to be. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable. Yep. You know, time's not waiting for anybody here. So again, we wish Roy the best. And again, this today, like Eric Montrose said it right, we should celebrate an incredible run. Great coach. But yet, you know, you still have business to attend to up and above that. And that's what North Carolina's got to do. It's what the ACC has to do. I said that the other day. We got to get to work because, you know, reputation, hey, forget reputation. That doesn't make any shots. You got to roll up your sleeves and get after it. And that's what the ACC needs to do right now.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
You know, we bragged about the one versus two matchups this week. It started with the men last night. Hopefully you saw that because, let me tell you something, Duke and North Carolina put on a show. We'll get to that later on in the program. It was awesome. Up and down. We explained, hey, if you like scoring, best in the business. The league is incredible with men's and women's lacrosse. So the men had their showcase last night, one versus two. The ladies take care of business tomorrow because it's a 1-2 showdown with North Carolina and Syracuse. And Emma Trencher joins us now from the University of North Carolina. Emma, first of all, good morning. And we appreciate you getting up, having some fun with us. And as far as regular seasons go, it doesn't get much bigger than one versus two, does it?
No, definitely not. It's definitely going to be our biggest test of the season so far. So we're super excited down here.
Emma, last night we saw 1-2 on the men's side. I'm guessing you watched the game. I mean, it was wild to watch just Duke and Carolina go back and forth, and yet the goalies played great. I mean, do you get any momentum or emotion from that to what you're going to take on tomorrow with Syracuse at 11 a.m.?
Yeah, I think it was really cool to watch. I watched it with some other teammates, and you know, I think we could all kind of just sense like the effort and just leaving it all on the field. And, you know, sometimes it got super frantic during that game and you could just tell like the battle that they were going after. And in the end, I think it did kind of come down to like the defensive sets and the goalie play. And so I think that definitely gets us like super excited for Saturday. And I think at some points during watching the game last night, it's hard not to visualize, you know, yourself on the field on Saturday playing against, you know, the orange instead of the other blue.
You know, I doubt you need any rah-rah speeches to get fired up when you have a one versus two showdown like this. And we've bragged about how great the ACC is in lacrosse on both the men's and the women's side with all these ranked teams. But you had a brush with greatness with Roy Williams in a little rah-rah speech, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Last year, my team got the incredible opportunity to play in the Dean Dome. We kind of just mixed teams and played 5v5, but Roy Williams made an appearance, and that was really just so incredibly awesome. He's a legend around here. It's definitely bittersweet that he's leaving. I think he left a great legacy and left such an incredible impact on so many people, but it's definitely really sad, and he's going to definitely be missed.
Emma, the inspiration of a game like tomorrow with Coach Jenny, I mean, she's done such a phenomenal job with that program. And yet you guys have your own mission, right? I mean, you've played so well. A game like tomorrow, and I know it's big, but there's so much out there for your program. Do you have to be mindful of a single game mentality?
You know, I think the best thing that Jenny has us focus on is not just taking one game at a time, but taking one practice at a time, right? So, you know, on Tuesday, we started off practice so fired up, so excited. You know, it's Cuse week, it's this, that. And Jenny's like, we're not beating Cuse today. Like, we have to win practice today first, and then we move on to tomorrow, and that's that. And so I think that mentality sets us up so well to play on Saturdays because we just take every single day of the week during practice as business. And then once we get to Saturday, that's our real business and we're ready to go.
Listen, we talked to Megan Carney yesterday and we had some fun with her because it looks like every time Megan scores, she takes that stick and she just absolutely becomes like a personal vendetta. She just wants to slam that thing. And so we're watching highlights. And again, we've watched enough lacrosse now to be dangerous. It's a little bit more of a finesse drop on your behalf. I mean, Megan's out there heaving that thing all over the joint. So what's your approach to after score? I got to let go of the stick. Is there any kind of any gig you've got going with that, or just a nonchalant throw down to the floor? Just curious.
Well, I mean, it was my first time, so I guess I didn't want to be too in anyone's face. So I guess I wasn't really thinking about it. I just went for the casual drop. But, you know, maybe if it happens again, I'll do something crazier.
No, wait a minute. What do you mean if it happens again? No. We got to get a better vibe on that. It's going to happen again.
It's going to happen. Come on now. Yeah. Right? I mean, you're going to score. So here's a little Packer and Durham thing. This is I told Mark yesterday I'd like to see this. And again, you know, take it or leave it. Score a goal. Just heave the stick about 30 yards down the field. Just throw it like a hammer. Just over the top, sling it down the field.
Yeah.
Perfect. There you go. Exactly. Yeah. Just throw it over your head 30 yards down the field. I mean, you know, why not? I mean, they're going to go check it anyway. You know, a little effort on their behalf, right?
I'll definitely keep that in mind for next time.
Yeah, I can tell. You know what? Emma's already Emma's like, when these two guys there's get onto no a chance. Real topic, these two guys are wasting their time right now. What worries you? What worries you in the most about Syracuse when you watch film of this crew? I mean, because they are really talented.
Yeah, I think the thing with Syracuse that we always have been mindful of is that they just run like a well-oiled machine, especially on the offensive end. Mm. Obviously, Gary Gate is one of just the most well-known coaches, and has just, you know, what he's been able to do with that program and just the different players that come through, and they all have that same kind of vibe on offense. And so I think that just, you know, breaking down that well-oiled machine is going to be what we're going to have to do on Saturday. We're going to have to kind of dictate them as opposed to letting them dictate what they want to do on offense.
You come from a bit of a Carolina legacy, although it's unique in that your great grandfather was the football coach at UNC in the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. You don't run into that one very often, Emma. What kind of connection did you ever feel a connection to Carolina? I know your folks are also college student athletes as well. I mean, so. But Carolina, and did it just seem like it was the right thing to do, the right place to be, I guess?
Yeah, so I guess like when I was visiting and, you know, figuring out where I wanted to go, I didn't necessarily have that in mind. I didn't like feel like a strong connection to Carolina. After my great-grandfather coached here, there was no other connections with North Carolina, so it's been kind of a long time since that was a connection. I mean, when I came to Carolina, I just fell in love with it. And that's just ended up being the primary reason why I chose to come here. But it is kind of funny. My first year, my dad was like, you know, you should try to go to, the graveyard and find like your great grandfather and his, family's graves, because they're buried in Chapel Hill, like right on campus. And so I went with one of my roommates, and they thought I was kidding that there was like trenchered graves in Chapel Hill. They thought it was like just random people, and that I like made a joke about it. And I was like, no, I'm serious. Like those are actually my great grandfather and his family. So it was funny.
So did you find them? Did you find the graves?
Yeah, I did. Actually, it's right near like the student store. There's a graveyard, and they're right in the center of it. So,
oh my gosh, that had to be a little freakish, wasn't it? I mean, I don't know how I would handle that.
Yeah, it was definitely. I did not expect it. My dad was like, I don't know if they're still there. Like they might be small. Man. Like I don't know. And they were like the biggest ones in the graveyard.
Unbelievable. Like, that is crazy.
Yeah. Well, the area, it's interesting you talk about it, because yesterday during Coach Williams' press conference, he talked about, you know, walking on campus every day, and every once in a while he would go to the university cemetery where your great-grandfather and grandparents are buried. And that's where Coach Smith is buried. That's where Charles Kuralt, the luminaries of the university pack, from about, oh God, I don't know, 1870 something on, that was the part on campus where distinguished folks who passed away were buried. And your great great grandfather being a football coach, that qualified in the early 1900s for sure.
By the way, Emma, is there a pressure of being number one, given the fact that, number one, you are, and number two, the league has so many teams in the top 10? I mean, once you get past Syracuse, guess what? Here comes another top five, top 10 team on the schedule. I mean, is there a pressure, or is it just like, hey, listen, it's just like chewing gum. It's just part of the deal when you're at North Carolina.
I think initially there might be some pressure that we feel maybe like coming into the season before we've even played. But I think that like with pressure comes great opportunity to kind of just showcase how the game's supposed to be played and take every game to use it as a platform to just, you know, demonstrate greatness. And I think that that's what we've done so far. And like, it doesn't matter at the end of the day, the rankings or even who we're playing, but you know, big games like this definitely kind of bring that up a little bit. But I just think that we're so excited to just every day take the field and just showcase our talent and abilities. And that's kind of what we focus on the most.
Yeah, got it. Listen, one of our traditional questions on the show with every student athlete, and I'm putting it on you right now, since you've been at the University of North Carolina, what has been your hardest and toughest class?
Okay, I'm probably going to bring it back to freshman year. I had some tough classes freshman year. I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. And I took this history of religion in North America. And the professor, like, she has a ton of accolades and is like a really well-renowned professor. And I just did not know what I was getting myself into. It was just way too much history, just too much information to memorize. Like, the essays were impossible to write. It was a lot freshman year.
At least you put that in the rearview mirror. That's done. Over and done with. Yeah.
Yeah. Not a history major.
There you go. I hear you.
No. There you go. All right. Hey, Emma, good luck tomorrow. Thanks for the time. Stay safe. Look forward to following you guys the rest of the spring, okay?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Roy Williams in his 17th season here at North Carolina, 32nd as a head coach, and hoping for win number 879 here this evening. Equaling Dean Smith here at North Carolina, behind just Krzyzewski, Boeheim, and Knight. Out to Anthony Harris. He knifes in. His floater, good. The freshman gets the bucket and the foul.
He was controlled. I mean, he did a great job of getting controlled. The defense came over late, slid in well inside the arc.
70-67, the final score. And Roy Williams picks up his 879th career victory, tying him with his mentor, the legendary Dean Smith, for the fourth most wins in the history of college basketball.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join us in celebrating a historic achievement. Tonight's win is the 879th in the 32-year head coaching career of Carolina's Roy Williams.
Coach Williams is going to be presented a photo of he and Coach Smith in the Smith Center from his two seniors, Brandon Robinson and Garrison Brooks. You can see the emotion on Coach Williams' face here. He gives a quick hug and around the neck and a kiss to the top of the head of both Brooks and Robinson. Here comes Scott Smith, Coach Smith's son.
You know, it's a number. Means I've stayed around a long time, probably longer than some people wanted me to stay at places, but that's what it is. Scott Smith came out and said one thing, and I think he's right, and he said Dad would be really happy. And I think he would be.
It means a lot. Coach Smith worked really hard, and Coach Williams saw that. I think Coach Williams just really tried to follow everything that he did, and it showed. And then it shows him with the amount of success Coach Williams has had, but Coach Williams has worked extremely hard, and he's going to give him more wins.
It's something that I'll never forget. I've been a part of a lot of great moments here, and that one is up there for sure. I just told Coach I love him and congratulations, and he told me, and Garrison, thank you for giving it our all that night.
You know he's proud. You know he's excited, as much as he would never talk about that for himself. You know he has to be proud of the accomplishment.
I've been very fortunate. I have been able to stay relatively healthy, and I've had really good kids who have made me look good for a long time, and I'm very appreciative of them. I'm very fortunate the teams I've had have been so good, because I didn't become a head coach until I was 38, and I would have been very satisfied to have stayed and been Coach Smith's assistant until he left, and then Coach Guthard's assistant until he left, and then Eddie Fogler's assistant until he left. I'm sure it means something to my friends, people who have stuck with me, my foxhole buddies and all that things. And I see Kenny standing back there. The Carolina basketball family is the strongest there's ever been, there ever will be, and anybody else can do what they want to do, but I know that ours is the best and the strongest ever.
Crazy, man. What a run. What an amazing run for Roy Williams and for North Carolina basketball, for that matter. And they hope that continues.
Always reminds me when we see some of the All Access with Carolina basketball. It's available for you at ESPN+. Chris Duzan did a phenomenal job with that package, Packer, as you know. I mean, all the episodes, Carolina fan, ACC fan, basketball fan, you can glean a lot from the work that Doozy and that crew did to get that piece put together. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal package about an iconic program. It also goes back to something Eric Montross just mentioned. The Carolina connection, if you will, the family, whatever term you want to use here, Pack, that's a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought Eric was interesting talking about, you know, the different teams he played for and guys always coming up and talking about it. You know, I grew up around some of that. I've gotten to know guys that played at Carolina, and regardless if they were headliners or not, I mean, you know, I know former managers at Carolina who have as much a connection to that program as players do. It's one of the more unique deals we have in all of sports, but especially in college athletics. And you know this from the way we grew up. It's a real thing, Mal. I mean, guys in the 1960s have no problem calling guys from the 80s. 80s into the 2000s. I mean, it's a fascinating, fascinating study of what that intentional relationship that Eric Montross spoke of earlier in the hour is all about.
Yeah, it's not lip service. And not only that, those guys take a great deal of pride in maintaining those relationships. And, in some respects, it's even if you've never played sports and you had a great experience, whether it be in high school or in college, you still got those core group of buds that you used to hang out with. It's basically that multiplied by generation by generation by generation when it comes to sports teams. And North Carolina's got a very unique situation. And they're not the only one, but it's real. And like when Kenny Smith's showing up there and you see that in the clip, Kenny Smith wants to be there. I mean, that's like a badge of honor to be able to share that experience, knowing that your blood and sweat and tears goes in there with that coach and that coaching staff and even the fans and everything else. It's why we love sports, Wes. It's why you get involved with things, right? It's why you get connected, whether it be it could be your church, it could be your neighborhood, it could be outlets. It's your family, and that's basically what we're talking about here. So it goes back to, all right, you know, Roy's going out to go play golf now. Now, what is next? Again, not to fast forward the clock, but watching North Carolina in this process is really going to be grab your popcorn time, because it's a difficult mix of, hey, does it become another family member that takes the mantle here? And it was easy when Dean stepped down because you knew Roy was there and you knew that was the right connection. I don't know if you know that answer today. You do a list of UNC guys. Hey, is there somebody on the bench that's ready to step up? Coach Robinson, Coach Davis, Coach May. I don't know the answer to that. I have no earthly idea. Is it Jerry Stackhouse, who's coaching at Vanderbilt? Jared Haas, I talked to yesterday, the head coach at Stanford, had connections to Roy at Kansas. And, of course, went with Coach Williams to Chapel Hill to be on the bench. They played this past year. So I don't know what direction they're going to go in, but that is why it's going to be interesting. But, you know, as Eric Montross pointed out, I think it's really important. It's one of the reasons we're spending almost the entire show. Today's a celebration of Roy Williams because he was a phenomenal, phenomenal basketball coach. and a better person. And you know what? Those guys, you know, they don't make them like that anymore. He really doesn't. Doesn't happen often.
Yep.
Really doesn't.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.